This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. Spring football is over. Transfer portal, hello, opens up again. Alex Donna, Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, joins us. And Alex, before everybody overreacts to what they saw or they didn't see, I just tell everybody to calm down a little bit. It's still spring football. Mario kept some guys out, and there's more troops on the way. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Joe. And, you know, yeah, one of the reasons why people may overreact a little bit in a negative way, if there is any of that going on, is, you know, we didn't get the laser show that we got last year from Cam Ward in the spring game, which, and I will also remind people that in last year's spring game, I don't think Miami's defense was as good as it is right now, which is a good thing for this year. But of course, you know, in the spring game a year ago, you had the guy who would end up being, he's about to be the number one pick in the NFL draft,
yeah,
just lighting it up last year.
Still, and, you know, amazed to say that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
After watching him last year going, yeah, he's pretty good, but I don't know. Well, yeah, well, here he is, top guy potentially going. Hey, let's jump into the quarterback situation. Carson Beck, some good news. He's been cleared to throw the football. But let's talk about the backup, Emery Williams. A lot of short passes he completed. Luke Nickel got after it pretty good, made some nice throws down the field. Still got a lot to learn as a true senior in high school. What's your take on the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, with Emery Williams, I'll start with him. It's a little bit like hard to evaluate based on what he did in the spring game, because like you mentioned, it was a lot of stuff he was throwing behind the chains. It was a lot of more so horizontal stuff than vertical stuff. He did have a touchdown pass to Malachi Toney, and we'll talk about him. I thought Toney was the most exciting player to watch on that field. So, you know, he did have some good throws, Emery, but a lot of the stuff was behind the chains. You know, I don't know what his final stats were because they didn't keep stats, but I know he completed his first 10 passes, Emery, just not pushing down the field a whole lot. He was also going up against Miami's starting defense, going up against the ones, which I thought played very well overall. You know, in terms of Judd Anderson, there were some ups and downs, you know, some unfortunate downs. Like there was one sequence, Joe, where he threw an interception to Dylan Day, who actually fumbled the return of the interception. Brock shot on the offense, recovered it, and then on the very next throw, Judd Anderson threw another interception to Amari Wallace the second time around. So, you know, he had a couple of mistakes. And, you know, in terms of Luke Nickel, I was overall impressed, Joe. You know, the context of it, of course, is he was not going up against starting defenders, but he was also playing with mostly backup offensive players. People need to keep in mind he was throwing to some third stringers, even a couple of walk-ons out there. But I see some of the stuff, or I saw some of the stuff on Saturday from Luke that, you know, we saw from him in high school, you know, some of his games being televised at Milton, where, you know, you see a guy who's not afraid to attack downfield. You see someone with a little bit of mobility as well and a good arm. Now, you mentioned, Joe, he made a couple of mistakes, and I don't feel like Mario Cristobal was all that discouraged by a couple of the mistakes that Luke made out there, because I think Cristobal understands this guy who, like you mentioned, Joe, should still be in high school right now. He's enrolled early. He's out there kind of figuring out what he can get away with at the college level, because he's just made that jump up in the speed of the defenses and everything. And I think some of the riskier throws that Luke makes, I think he's sort of testing the limits of what he can do at the college level. So he did have, you know, an interception that he probably would have wanted to have back. He actually threw it to Jason Taylor's son, Isaiah Taylor, picked him off. And there was one play that, you know, this is something that Luke will learn, you know, where he was scrambling a little bit and he had run beyond the line of scrimmage and then he threw a football for a completion, but, you know, the officials realized it was an illegal forward pass, so they called it back. So yeah, outside of that, I thought Nickel really did a lot of positive stuff just in terms of being aggressive and making some good throws. And Malachi Toney was on the other end of a lot of Nickel's throws. So I was, you know, it was not a flawless performance by any of the quarterbacks, Joe. But out of the three, I thought I was probably most encouraged by what we saw from Nickel.
Well, this Malachi Toney thing, everybody's been talking about since he decided to come to Miami as out of American Heritage Plantation. Led his team as a quarterback, by the way, at the end of the year. Had to play quarterback, but a really talented wide receiver. Has he done enough? Like, he comes back, you're going, oh, he's going to play. You got Ray Joseph there, who also made some plays and loves it here, but he's got to know if he's playing or not, or I got to believe he's starting to look elsewhere.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Joe, because Ray has also had a good spring. So I don't know, like, where his mind is at. I mean, like you mentioned, he said it a few weeks ago. He had media availability, Ray, and he legitimately loves Miami, and he embraces competition. So I'm hoping that his mind is all about Miami, and he had a good spring. It's not as if I came out of, you know, 5 weeks of spring football and I'm saying, yeah, you know, Malachi Toney is way ahead. He's going to start. Like, no, I think Ray has made plenty of cases where he needs to be on the field, if not starting. But Toney has been so good, Joe. Like, my take on Malachi Toney is I don't necessarily know if he starts or not, or starts from the beginning of the year. I just think you need to get this guy on the field. Like, yeah, that's all I'm saying on Malachi Toney is, to me, he's so shifty and so explosive. And, you know, he has that nose for making plays. And you know this from having watched him a lot at Heritage, that I just think Malachi Toney is a guy you have to find a role for. So I hope both of them stick around and that Shannon Dawson's going to have to find ways to get both of these guys on the field, along with, you know, a guy like we didn't see in the spring game, by the way. But last time you had me on, we talked a lot about Elijah Lofton, you know, the tight end who could do a little bit of everything. He didn't play in the spring game. So that would have been another one, I imagine, who would have made a lot of plays that, you know, you need to find roles for all three of these guys.
Yeah. So they got some young, talented receivers they've raved about throughout spring football that they think this class of guys are really special, and, you know, all the nice things said about this group, plus Joshua Trader, who didn't play in the spring game either. So they just don't have a lot of experience at wide receiver. So I'm just telling everybody, and parents get up to see if you're talking about their kids today, they got some really good, young, talented guys, but they need some experience if it's about winning right now. I think the number one position they have to hit in the transfer portal is a wide receiver. If they can find a guy that's got some experience and done it at a pretty high level, to bring him in. Don't just bring a guy in to bring him in, but a guy they think's an upgrade with their experience and talent till these guys get ready. Do you agree with that?
100%. And if for every reason you just said, plus, I just think that in this case, and we had the same conversation last year, you know, with having Cam Ward on a 1-year deal, which is what you have with Carson Beck, you need to do whatever you can to maximize. I mean, give him as many weapons as possible, because, you know, one of the reasons why Beck's numbers in Georgia last year took a little bit of a dip from the year before was, you know, you watch UGA last year, they led the nation in drops. I'm not saying Miami would do that. Like, I'm not saying this to tear down the players Miami has, the young receivers and CJ Daniels. Like, they may very well perform more consistently with who they have right now than with what Georgia had last year. But, you know, I think last year showed a lot of people that you really need to maximize what you have around Beck. And I think part of that is surrounding him with as many proven, experienced receivers as possible. And you got, you know, one of those guys in CJ Daniels who, has been really good the last couple of weeks in spring since he's gotten healthy. He's a six-year guy. And, you know, you could use someone else like that, a third, fourth, fifth year. I don't know how many 6 years there are still hanging around,
yeah.
But a third, four, 5 year type of guy to really add more experience to that room. I think it's got to be a big priority, Joe. And I think that, you know, since Miami landed Beck, you know, very late, kind of at the end of the winter transfer portal, when most of the receivers at that point that were in the portal had already decided where they were going, you couldn't really take advantage of having Beck, you know, the last time the portal was open. You could do that now that the portal is open for the second time. So I think Miami could become an attractive spot, you know, in 2 days when that portal opens.
Is there any other positions you think they could still use some depth? Are you concerned about running back or safety or any other position, or you think they have enough?
Yeah, so I think that there are situations, some of these are bigger needs than others, Joe, and then some of them are just you want to have, you know, as much depth as possible. And I think that's the case with running back. Like, I don't think at running back there's this desperate need, because we know who they have at the top should be really good with Fletcher and Lyle. But they've only got four scholarship running backs, and I think just for a numbers reason, they may look to add a fifth, because, you know, we've seen it two, 3 years ago, the running back room, all different guys that are here right now. But 3 years, I think it was 2022, they got completely ravaged by injury. They had to use, you know, a walk-on mid-season transfer. Lucius Stanley got a lot of work. You don't want to be in a situation like that, so you want to have at least five there. I think you mentioned safety. I think that's a spot where they're going to look for somebody, because I just don't think they have the numbers there. I was encouraged that Markeith Williams had a good spring game, and he's had a good spring in general. Cristobal was very complimentary of him. He's someone who's been in the program for a while, has just really not had his breakout year yet. So I think there's some encouragement that someone like that can step up. You know, Dylan Day has been really good in spring. Zechariah Poyser, obviously, and, you know, Zaquan Patterson has opportunities this year in his second year, but I still think they could probably use another at safety. I think linebacker could be another spot where they've got some good players, but they maybe don't have as much depth as they'd want to have. So I think that's somewhere they could look to add somebody. And I kind of wonder, not that it's a huge need, but at defensive tackle, just to, because that's one of those spots where I don't think you can ever have enough or too many. So I think that may be a spot where they look for another guy. So I know it sounds like I've rattled off almost every position on the team.
Yeah.
I get that. But, you know, I think that there are some spots where if Mario wants to really add, like, championship-level depth, I think they're going to do a lot of shopping in a few days.
I know he's not going to name a backup starter, because that's what they are. I know Mario hates when I say this with the quarterback situation, because, you know, we call it open competition, but it's not. Is there one guy going back to summer camp that might have the lead? Somebody's got to line up with the twos when they come back. Who is it?
A quarterback?
Yeah.
I think it's probably Emery. Okay. You know, I think he's been. And I'm a lot of this is based on the way that he practices and, you know, what the coaches say about him. I think they really value his experience in this offense, because he's heading into his third year with Shannon Dawson. And I do think he's been the most consistent practice performer. You know, I think Nickel is a guy who's been rising a little bit over the last couple of weeks, but, you know, he doesn't have nearly as much experience. So I feel like Emery Williams is probably the one who's in line for that. This is another one. I don't necessarily have the pulse of this situation personally, but I know that Kane Sport was writing about this yesterday, that, you know, we have to wonder what's going to go on with Emery Williams for the next couple days, because reportedly he's got a new NIL agent, and that they are, you know, getting some third party, you know, solicitations from potentially from other schools in the portal, if that might be something that he explores. You know, I doubt his mind is made up yet. But, you know, that's one we have to wonder about, because, again, if he doesn't feel like he's going to be a starter here anytime soon, and obviously not this year with Carson Beck, that if he may look for somewhere else he can play. So we have to wonder about that. I'd like to see him stay. But if he doesn't stay, Joe, if Miami is down to three scholarship quarterbacks, that could be another spot that they may look for in the portal, just to get another body.
Wow. Yeah, you're right about this whole NIL thing. We saw it in Tennessee, not obviously to that level here, hopefully, but that that your guys will stick around, but they do want to play at some point. I can't blame anybody, that, especially a quarterback. You're seeing what happens, and you keep bringing a new guy in and another new guy, and you go, why am I here? When am I going to get a chance to be the guy? And at some point, the Canes, and by the way, you save money doing it, to be honest, right, to get a fresh deal done. This quarterback position after this Tennessee thing, it's only going up in price. We saw it already more than double between our last quarterback and this one. Where's it stop? Where does it stop?
I think that I don't know. I don't claim to be a legal expert, but I follow this house settlement that is like supposedly a couple weeks away from getting approved by that judge, the House versus NCAA, that's going to put the revenue sharing into it. A lot of folks have theorized that that's gonna bring the market down again, because once the House settlement passes and every school is going to have their 20 million, 20.5 million salary cap, that they're really going to restrict third-party NIL deals. And because the goal, and who knows, Joe, because anytime the NCAA tries to do anything, they tend to fail like 99% of the time. Yeah. So if the NCAA's goal is to try and drastically lower the NIL market, who am I to say they're going to succeed in doing that? But I think one of the reasons why players, especially quarterbacks, are out there trying to squeeze every dime possible is there is this suspicion that once this settlement passes, that the money is going to go down and they're not going to have like, they're not going to be able to ask for like $4 million a year anymore, which a lot of quarterbacks have done this year. So I don't know if the NCAA gets their wish with this house settlement, that, you know, you may see quarterbacks instead of 4 million plus, maybe the new cap kind of becomes in the, I don't know, $1.5 to $2 million range, but we'll see if that actually happens. But there are some folks who think the money's going to go way down starting next year.
One thing about us doing radio, it's always about the quarterback, man. Everything goes back to the quarterback. Donald, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Alex Donald, Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, does a great job, by the way. Daily, great stuff coming out from Alex with the team. Hey, right now I want to talk to you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED and low T. Yeah, I had it. Oh, boy, did I have it. Oh, Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, I knew it from an energy level. I'll start with the low T. My energy was shot, and I literally went and got a physical, and like, I'm just tired, like amazingly tired, in a fog like every day, like just constantly on the weekend. I'm just exhausted. All I want to do is sleep. And it's like, and then my sex drive was gone. You know, yeah, you got full-blown low T and ED, Joe. By the way, it happens to every guy. A lot of men in their 30s, 40s, half their men in the 50s, and then you're on your own, man, after that. But everybody, sooner or later, every man out there will have low T and ED. That's a fact. And Atlantic Men's Clinic, the good news is they take care of it. They knock it out for you. It disappears. They'll put you on a program that works. It's professional, it's safe, it's policed. Tell you all the things that feel good about the way Atlantic Men's Clinic did it for me, and they'll do it for you a year ago. Started a year ago. Thank you, Atlantic Men's Clinic. Yeah, I had all the testing done, the T, the PSA test, and everything else. Got that done. Had one of the six locations real close to my house in Plantation, so I've been going there. But I'll tell you what, man, you talk about getting your sex drive back, feeling better to do more on the weekends, work out, go out, everything else to really enjoy with my wife. 877-455-7300. Set up that first appointment and have great results with Atlantic Men's Clinic. That's what I'm telling you. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com.
Let's get your weather, brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. It has moved up to 70 degrees. Still looking clear out there, Joe. Another nice day.
All right, and we've got a lot of stuff. We got play-in. We got just about done with the Panther season. Two left for them. Coach Maurice going to join us coming up here in a few minutes, and we'll talk to him. He's done, to me, considering the amount of games, really concerned mostly about guys rested up and healthy with another big playoff run getting ready to start, most likely against Tampa Bay. So we'll talk to him about all that stuff and getting guys back and resting guys. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he's been able to do all that and win three straight games, which has just been huge. Game against the Rangers, their party is over. And then, of course, tomorrow at Tampa Bay. And, of course, haven't we done this before? Didn't we finish the season before Tampa Bay and then get ready to play them again? Yeah. So, anyway, Tuesday at Tampa Bay tomorrow. And then we'll find out exact seedings and everything else. But, hey, Panthers have done it. From the top, they've done it from the bottom of the playoffs, and the biggest thing for them is getting Tkachuk, Ekblad, Bennett, everybody else that might be a little banged up as healthy as possible and get ready. The good news is they've given – Goldie says this all the time, and it's true. You give a lot of guys a chance to play and adds more depth to your team, getting meaningful games where you're winning games, and they're a big part of it. And yet being able to rest Barkov and Reinhardt and Verhaeghe and Kulikov and some of these other guys that you have on the roster that have been such a big part, big contributors here over the last couple years. They played a lot extra games, man. A lot extra games. And it's been fun, hasn't it? Been fun having the Panthers. Of course, the Heat playing third straight year of the play-in, and they are doing it from the 10 spot. Somebody came in and asked me earlier, one of the guys from the FM was trying to explain it. And look, it, you're a 9 or 10 seed, you got to win two. You got to win for the Heat. They got to go to Chicago Wednesday night. They got to win that one. And then they got to beat the loser of the 7 and 8 game. Orlando's playing great, playing a lot better. And Atlanta, I mean, you can win both games. They have the ability to win both games. And then, of course, you'd be playing the Cavs, the number one seed, coming from the 9 or 10 spot. That's the best you can do. There's no Boston. It's Cavs. And most people, not a good situation to be a 10 seed anyway. The Jimmy Butler drama, the 10-game losing streak, and all the other things. But I'd rather play the Cavs in Boston, personally. It won't matter if you don't play well.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. You know, it's funny. Yesterday's game kind of summed up the season, didn't it? And I know nobody played, but you come all the way back. Looks like you're about to win that game. And some guy, I still don't even know the guy's name, throws a wild shot off the backboard and they win.
How about Jaime Jaquez, though?
Yeah, he had a nice game.
You know, and poor Jaime, this has not been a great year. Next to Rozier, Jaime's a guy you're going, what the hell happened to his game?
Well, when you play 40 minutes in a game like that, it's never a good sign.
No, you're right.
Although Terry Rozier played a ton of minutes in that game, it took him like three quarters to score a point. The hell happened to that guy, man?
That one is, that's not a good situation. But Jaime, 17 to 25, 41 points. It all counts for him. And I know not one person out there is going, I could care less about Jaime Jaquez and 41 points.
Yeah.
I get it. So anyway. We do have a lot of stuff, and we're going to have Coach join us here in just a couple of minutes. We've been all over the board here, but we'll check in with Paul Maurice as he gets his Florida Panthers set for these last two games. And then, man, we are off to the playoffs, most likely in Tampa Bay. Hell, maybe they'll just stay up there, huh? Play a little mind game. Just stay right up. Bring your clothes, fellas. Let's go. Let's just practice, man. Let's get ready to go. All right, we'll have Paul Maurice join us when we come back here. But first, I do want to take a second this morning to tell you about Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage. Always very important to talk about Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage. He's got so many great programs. It's about getting you approved quickly to get that mortgage. That's all it's about. I know there's a lot of people that do this. I know the banks. I understand. But he's got so many great programs. First-time home buyers program. Fixed rates in the fives, he always reminds me. Self-employed, you've been declined by the banks. Don't worry. He's got a program for you. Whatever it is you're going through, and you want to go to Google reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews, and find out what they're saying about Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage. 35 years in the business. 35 years. Work 7 days a week. Reason I tell everybody that, why your banker has shut it down for the weekend to spend time with his family, Mike Okotsie's working, man, to get the process started. That's why he can get it closed and done for him about half the time of the big banks. It's one of the reasons he's been so successful. Reverse mortgage for the people in my age group, more popular than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. Might be perfect for you sitting with all that equity in your home and could really use it these days. Michael Kotze can get it all done for him. Man has no life. He's always working. His wife's even complaining. We never go out anymore. 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, down the stretch, man. Two left. Rangers tonight at home, tomorrow at Tampa Bay. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach, joins us this morning. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Real good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Coach, I want to start with this. You have done an unbelievable job of still trying to win games. You've won three straight. Resting guys, guys that are banged up a little bit, getting them out of the lineup, and keeping this thing rolling pretty damn well here recently. I just thought what you've done, I don't know how you decide. I got a feeling a lot of your guys like playing all the time and probably aren't real honest with you with injury. How do you handle that?
You know what? They're pretty good. And as you get to a little older team, a little more veteran team, they understand the difference between having to play every night and playing with pain. And none of these guys are casual, so nobody's looking to come out of the lineup. But our schedule's dictated it, Joe. Like with three sets of back-to-backs this month, we're going to play 9 games in 15 days. So nobody feels good right now. They're all beat up, but not. You know, we've got a real good handle on our injuries. There's certain guys that you'll take out, and they'll say, "Hey, can I play anyway?" And you just say, "No, you can't." You don't give some guys the option because they play every night. But what really has happened is we've had, with the trade deadline, we added some good players. We got a great coach in our American Hockey League, Jordy Kinnear, and his staff. So these guys that we bring up, like Puljujärvi and Asplund and Megna, they know the systems to a T, so they can go out and just play and fit right in. So we got good depth here. And with the lineup that we've put on the ice our last three wins, it hasn't been our best lineup, but it's been a good lineup. It's been a good team. So we've been able to play well and start to build that confidence heading into the playoffs.
Have you already decided how you treat these last two games, Coach, as far as who play? Okay.
So we've got a lineup for tonight. I am going to take three guys out of the lineup, but those guys, and it's mostly the Lundell line, they've played every game in April. They need a night off because it's just too egregious in a schedule for them to play. And then pending the outcome of tonight's game, we'll either bring basically everybody into Tampa or we'll take the biggest minute players that we have out. So we have two lineups based on health, and we do have a plan for the next two.
Yeah, wow. All right, so I get asked all the time, and I'm sure you do too, so don't get mad at me going, really? I answer this for
him. We're all good.
Matthew Tkachuk.
Go ahead and ask it.
How's
yes.
You expect him back? You feel good about him being back for the start of the playoffs?
Yeah. I don't know the answer. This week is a really important week for it. It's not that far off. If he's not, he's very, very close. So we're not missing this by 2 weeks, right? It might be a day or two to a full push. So what will happen is he'll amp up to full skates and hard skates toward the end of this week and middle to the end of this week. And as he goes through those, how quick he recovers the next day will be the key thing. So if he comes in and there's no soreness the next day, then he's right and he'll be ready to go. If he's got a little residual soreness, we may have to hold another day or two, but he's not that far off.
You got to feel really good about getting guys rested, even if they have extended time off, knowing these guys have played so much at a high level over the last couple of years. I'm guessing a lot of confidence.
I'm not worried about that. Like, even you go back 2 years ago, Sam Bennett missed the last 2 months of the season, jumped into the middle of the Boston series and didn't look like he missed a game. We don't have any young players that are injured that don't know what they've got to do or what the game is like. You can't explain the playoffs to a young player, but a veteran guy knows exactly what he's stepping into and knows how to prepare for that. So I'm excited. You know, what you hope for is at some point you get to see your whole team healthy and ready to go, and then we'll get Aaron Ekblad for game three of the first round, and it'd be great to put our entire back end together to see what they look like.
Hey, Coach, I was going to ask, because I was asked this, and I didn't have an answer. I always hate when I have to tell some guy, a sports guy, I have no clue. So you've been suspended. I know Ekblad is now practicing with you. What do you do the rest of the time? Is he still allowed to come around or go to the practice facility when you guys aren't around?
In Aaron's suspension, he's not. So he has use of the facilities, but not at the time that any players, coaches, or trainers would be there. Obviously, they have somebody here just to make sure that things are set up for him, but he stays away, and then he comes back in full 10 days approximately before his first game. And then, you know, the one, Aaron Ekblad is a very, very fit man and drives himself very hard. So there's no problem with that. He comes back in 10 days is a lifetime for a guy like that to prepare. He's going to be right and ready at the start.
All right, so Marchand finally got a goal the other day, and I know you've raved about him, and so has everybody else. His knowledge, he comes right in and fits in, and he's given a lot of knowledge. He's played in a lot of big games. How big has he been so far to this team for you?
It's all, you know, when we look at it going forward, we're very excited about it. The most important thing when you get a player like this in, because he's been a star player in our league, and he's not, you know, 25 anymore. So you're looking for the right fit. And if you view him a little bit as Vladimir Tarasenko, who had won a cup before he had gotten to us, finding the right guys for him to play with is the key piece. And I'm very excited about what we've seen with Lustrun and Lundell and Marchand. Great players make the people around them better, but also kind of make them change the way they view the game a little bit. So we've always thought there's more offense with Lundell and Ristorano. They're just so honest and so conscientious defensively. Sometimes you get into that mode, that role, and you stop thinking about the offensive side of the game. And Brad will do both. He's going to play real hard. He's going to be real physical. And that'll draw those two players into that. But he's also looking to score goals. And it changes the way they think a little bit. And it's been good. Like, Lustrinen sort of game winner. Lundy's been in on some goals. Marcy scored one. So the three of them looking at each other going, hey, we can be a real good line here. So I'm excited about that. I think he's found his spot and found a place for him to play.
You know, another guy, the more I watch, the more I love, and I think a lot of people, Samuskevich and what he's been able to do. I know he's a former first-round pick just a couple years ago, but that's kind of what a first-round pick looks like right there, Coach.
Yeah, usually it takes a few years. Like, I don't know that I've had a young player come in. So all of these first-round picks, with the exception of a rare defenseman, but they all come in as very, very skilled, high offense guys. And it usually takes them 2 or 3 years to realize there's a whole other piece to the game that you got to be good at for us to have any chance to win. And his curve has been incredible. Like, he's played on our fourth line for the first half of the year, but he did all the hard things a fourth line does, and then he transferred that to each line. So now he's played with everybody. I've never had a young man come in and accept the hard parts of the game as quickly as he did. He's led our team in hits certain nights. He's battled. He's taken some huge hits and got up and continued to play. Those are the things that he'll learn. There are certain hits you have to take, and there's a whole bunch of hits you don't need to take, so don't put yourself in that position. And he's going to learn that as he goes. But I'm not fighting this young man to do hard things. You know, they come in and say, I just got to play my game, and they fade away from the play, and they go to scoring areas, and that's all pretty, and they generate some points, but it doesn't really help us win a whole lack of a lot. But he's really, to his credit, he's come in and turned himself into a really skilled but hardworking player.
I always wonder, Verhaeghe's used to scoring, and matter of fact, during the playoffs, scoring big, big goals. He went through a little drought there. He just recently started scoring again. Do you ever have to go to those guys, or do you just figure he scored enough in this league, I don't worry about him, or do you just keep firing, man?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think no matter how good your team is, there's probably 5 or 6 guys that you're working with every single day about trying to get them to a game that the level that they should be at. And when you look at his year, it was similar. Like, Sam Bennett was scoring earlier in the year, but Matthew really wasn't, and that line wasn't great for us. But the other three lines were playing so darn well, we were winning a bunch of games. So he kind of, his stats kind of took a beating almost fairly early in the year. It didn't happen for him. His plus minus got killed because we had so many games that we gave up empty net goals at the end of games that his plus minus got beat up. And then they got to a stretch of hockey where, let's just get the playoffs going, you know. So I really liked his last game. Maybe better than most that he's played this year. He scored a great goal, but it looked like Carter Verhaeghe. But he was winning his battles again. I think Carter plays with such an intensity. I'll tell you, Joe, I started watching this hockey team play 4 years ago, 2 years before I got here. And the first time in the first round they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning 4 years ago, and I had no idea who this guy was. And he was the best player on this team for me by far. So he has that playoff game, and he can wind himself up. And I'm not worried about him at all. I'm more kind of the coaches kind of shepherd a guy like that through the season. It's a new season for everybody. We're coming off two long years. We won the Stanley Cup. So more just keeping him kind of in the lines because we have complete confidence in his ability when he hits the playoffs.
Well, I'll finish you with this one. Looks like Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
First round, here we go. It's such a great rivalry, man. Guys truly don't seem to care for each other in a good way. Very competitive. They've won championships. You won since you've here. You had your Tkachuk come in, and number one thing he says, we're going to start beating Tampa Bay. They better get used to it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts on potentially opening with those guys?
We're so similar in pedigree, but also they added a couple players at the trade deadline. We did as well. They're a good team. We're probably going to finish within 2 points of each other. And what you hear in the National Hockey League, probably all pro sports in the last, is finding that right matchup in the first round, right? Well, you want to finish here. You want home ice so that you can play against this team. And I think for our team, that's like the most foolish way to think about this. The team, the hardest challenge you have in the first round, and for us, go back 2 years, that was one of the best teams in the history of the NHL, the Boston Bruins. That series, it was so difficult, is a big part of the reason why we won the Cup last year. And then last year, we hit Tampa, and that team we hadn't beat before in the playoffs. So the challenge of the first round is you probably want to play the hardest team you possibly can, because if you, but things that you learn in that round will propel you for the rest of the playoffs. I truly believe that. The idea that you would get an easy match in the first could be your kiss of death. So you go in, you outmatch a team because they finished eighth, or you're just better than they are, and you win in five. You say, great, we're rested, but you've learned nothing. You've learned nothing about hockey or how hard it's going to be. One of these two teams is going to win the first round and have then, after that, a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. And that's what you want your first round to be, as hard as you possibly can, because what you'll learn will be the key for you having a chance to win.
Coach, what a great way to finish. Thank you so much for finding time between back-to-back games. I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Anytime.
Good luck.
Yeah. Anytime, Joel. Thank
you
very
right,
much.
Thank you. Man. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach, man, and the best I've ever seen at the parade thing. Best I've ever seen. Best I've ever. I gave him a standing ovation, and I had about 12 beers. What, Woody, was I at about 12 beers when you saw me giving a standing ovation in there? We've got the 9 o'clock hour coming up, man. Coach is fantastic. Good stuff with the head coach of the Florida Panthers. Damn, I love that guy. All right, hey, right now I want to talk to you about a couple other guys I really care a lot about. Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, the partners of Cohen and Judah, injury law firm, personal injury attorneys in Plantation. Same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. See, I just want to say this, communication's a big thing, especially when you've been injured. And you've trusted somebody you've seen on TV or heard on the radio and you decided to go with them. And you know they're not handling your case, you know some another attorney in the law firm is, which is fine. Except they don't get back to you. They don't give you updates. How am I doing, man? I'm hurting over here. I've been injured. I'm not feeling great. Nobody's talking to me. You start to feel like you're not a priority. And if you're feeling that in any law firm here in South Florida, it's time to call Harvey Cohen and Gary Judah, period. These dudes do care about you. They care about communication. They'll get a hold of you and call them on a weekend. Somebody asks you in your family, how are we doing? Let's go call them right now. They're there for you, man. They are there for you. Check the reviews, man. Partners who you can always reach, always taking care of you. Go to CohenandJudah.com. Learn more. 866-324-7333. That's 866-FAIR-FEE. And remember this, they don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.